And now, you know, talking about another story that's not going to get finished is Cody Rhodes in WrestleMania. But it looks like it might still happen, but we're going to see. Because The Rock definitely put a few people in their place, not just Cody Rhodes, but even some of the keyboard warriors and the Cody fans. What do you guys think about that leading up to WrestleMania? It's looking like it's going to be fucking fireworks, because The Rock came back and he did what you guys thought he wasn't going to do, which I thought he was going to do. And he turned heel and he fucking slapped that motherfucker across the face so hard. Oh my God. Alino,
you could tell Nick is pro Rock here.
Yeah. Just
it was go. It was amazing. I wasn't expecting him to really lean in. So I thought it'd be like a long drawn out process of like 3 weeks, but
nope.
Immediately he read the room and, just a little like wise words here, I guess, for Cody and Seth, because I think there was a trigger word in all of this, family. Cody, first he's talking about Roman, The Rock is there, like, okay, let's see what he has to say. I'm on the board, being all diplomatic. And then Cody said, and his grandfather, pointing at The Rock. And yep. Like, you don't bring up his grandfather. You don't bring up no Pete. Okay. And say that he would be ashamed. So he went up, slapped the fucking taste out of his mouth, and made him stutter like fucking gold dust. So it was a slap that made probably Will Smith blush. How beautiful that was. And all hell broke loose. The Rock just dropping F-bombs. He doesn't give a shit. They're not going to find him. They're going to do anything. He's on the board.
That's like the slap that was heard around the world. Holy shit.
And then Triple H trying to be like, oh, you know what? You're out of line. Doesn't give a fuck. Start the car. He has to go to set in like an hour. Let's get this going and see you at WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's one thing that I absolutely adored about this was, I mean, we all knew after SmackDown and the backlash, then him on Pat McAfee going, "Oh, the Cody," and like, I fucking love that. But I didn't expect him to already physically slap Cody in the face. I was like, okay, yeah, you know, an insult is an insult, but the fact that he slaps him, and then he goes backstage and he's like, no, he can't be fucking talking about my family like that. You gotta do something. It's like, the thing that actually kind of pissed me off though, Alino, you could agree with me or not, is it made Roman kind of look like second fiddle.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's been champion for 4 years and he's literally behind The Rock, like his little Crody over here. Like, oh yeah, The Rock is my dad now. So it's like, The Rock, obviously, after the press conference, is the head of the table. That's at least what I got from it. It's like, okay, yeah, Roman's a champ, but like Rock is the guy now kind of directing things. I think this might be, and I read online, Aluna, you could agree with me or not, this could lead to a huge Roman face turn. I think if you can really do it the right way, you have The Rock kind of kick Roman to the curb, like, I'm the head of the table, get out of here. He'll say one of his corny, you know, things that he says.
It doesn't matter.
You're a gray-haired freak. You know, just get out of here, whatever. He'd say something, you know, you're not a Samoan, I'm more Samoan, whatever. But Hollywood Rock, I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a phenomenal WrestleMania. I don't know if it's going to be Rock versus Roman, Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth, Rock screws Roman in the main event. I don't know what the hell's going on. But I'll tell you one thing. Cody's going to finish the story. He's going to win that title.
I don't know. Honestly, it was so great to actually, like, you know, The Rock goes on Pat. He does his thing. That was hilarious. I was loving every fucking second of it, because he had a very strong point to prove when he did bring the keyboard warriors up, the grown-ass men that are like, he needs to finish his story. It doesn't matter if he finishes his story. That's The Rock through and through when he is a heel, or when he's just fucking with people on the mic and it's great. But when he started talking about, no one expected that slap to come. It was like, he hit a switch. Like, he's like, when you're talking about his family, you're talking about my family. That's our blood. And it was like, oh fuck, okay. What's coming next?
Some roided freak getting angry. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, like, fuck. And then it was like, that slap, man, he fucking leaned into it. Like, it was great. Like, the fireworks are gonna be unbelievable for that. What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know if you guys saw it, though. It was hilarious. It had me laughing. Was Cody was sitting backstage, and they brought him a luggage, and it said "From H" on it, and it said "Hope this still fits." And Cody's just looking at it, and he opens it, and it was the Gold Dust suit. Oh, man. It was so funny, man.
The Stardust suit.
Yeah, it was hilarious, but. Fuck, who knows what's going to happen? Heel Rock, though, I'm here for it, because there hasn't been a heel that has been so captivating, and at least one that people can relate to, no matter how old you are, or at least older people will at least relate to.
I mean, it's been years, man. Like Hollywood Rock was like 03. That's 19 years ago. So I think it's time for him to come back and be a heel. Everyone's saying, oh, he couldn't adjust to being a heel now because, you know, he's like the new Cena. It's like, no, man, this guy as a heel was feuding with Hogan. Like, this guy was the fucking
Stone
man.
Cold.
I loved his. Remember when he's like, yay, yeah. Said Toronto. I think that shit was
Canuckers.
I fucking loved every minute of Heel Rock. He's back. But Alino, I got to ask a question because now this, the great thing about the press conference, we talked like, what, 2 weeks ago that this whole aura of Rock coming back, it made Mania predictable. Like, you thought it was Rock versus Roman for the title. Now, with this heel turn and Cody saying, no, like, I'm picking you. I won the Rumble. Like, what the hell's the point of me winning the Rumble? So, finally, common sense comes into it. Like Alino said, what the fuck are you doing putting it to the side? Like, you eliminated 29 guys for a reason.
Yep.
But now it's unpredictable because you don't know what Rock is doing. Is he Roman's manager? Is he the special guest ref? Is he in the match? Like, you don't know what he is. And now that he's a heel, he's siding more Roman. So does he really want the title or does he want the head of the table? You don't really know what his intentions are, but Alino, do you think now what we saw with Seth interacting with that, do you see Seth and Cody facing Rock and Reigns at the Rumble, or do you think they're kind of going to do something interesting at Mania?
I think with that, like the promo and everything, and Rock going to be on SmackDown this week, I think they're probably leaning towards a night one tag match, and then night two, they both do their own thing, because I don't know. The Rock seemed a little salty in a way because he's like, yeah, he's doing all these training camps. Like when he said on Pat McAfee's show, getting his body adjusted, they're going to change a main event. No, he's wrestling at WrestleMania. He's not going to waste it. So Seth just benefited the most of this whole situation. It looks like main eventing with The Rock. Well, like, this guy has a torn, whatever the hell he has. Yeah. He just walks into a main event with The Rock. Like,
poor Drew, eh? Like, poor fucking Drew. God damn.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's no
for that guy.
There's no way The Rock has been doing all this shit for however long it's been, say 6 to 10 months, and then they're like, yeah, no, sorry Rocky, thanks for dropping a bomb at the press conference, but you're gonna have to wait. Fuck off. There's no way.
You know who you're talking to?
It's like, I will wrestle fucking Dominic Mysterio at WrestleMania if there's anything. So
if I have to, I will fight Rhea Ripley. Like, I do not care.
Get fucking Triple H out of retirement. I'll fucking rearrange that pacemaker over there. Fucking end it for sure.
Or who knows? Maybe Randy and The Rock will have a feud if he can't get his
that'd
way.
That'd be fucking dope. I don't think they've ever had one, eh? Yeah. That'd be fucking cool.
Turn back the clock. That'd be something. But, man.
I would love to see a heel Rock roast Randy. Damn. That'd be fucking awesome. Where's his back, huh? Where is it? Oh, yeah, that's right. You're on the shelf for 18 months. Shut up. I can say something like no remorse for heel Rock. I fucking love it. I think it's going to be insane, but this now transitions to Seth and Drew. Like, is Drew, because now they have a chamber to determine who's going to face Seth. Is that just going to be for fucking nothing, or are we actually going to see Seth drop the title to like a Drew or LA Knight or someone?
There's one way around it. I don't think they're going to do it. Damian Priest should cash in on a Raw. Just beat the shit out of Seth, hit his knee, or The Rock even come in the ring, do a segment. The Rock just like says, okay, Seth, you win this time. Then all of a sudden, Damian Priest comes out, he helps him win the title, and that's how they get Seth into the tag match. But I'd rather see Drew McIntyre. They had an ongoing story with Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre. Maybe McIntyre is like kind of a face that is being an asshole, and when CM Punk goes back, he can go back to being a heel. But I think there's other ways. You don't have to have Seth defend the title if he's in a match with The Rock.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. And that's the kind of the unfortunate thing. Like, when you have a guy like The Rock come back, it throws everything out of whack. But if there is one thing that needs to happen just for the sake of, you know, the money in the bank and the contract, he has to, you know, redeem it sooner rather than later, right? So I think that time is going to come. How soon? Hopefully sooner rather than later. So at least it could fix a few things, because right now there's so many things that are up in the air for those two guys. Hopefully it is, you know, Drew, but we'll only have to wait and see.
Yeah, as well. Like, it is smart, I think, for them to do it now, because we saw back in the past, guys like Dolph, who lost momentum, they would cash in out of nowhere and they won the belt.
Yeah.
So, like, Priest had his momentum, what would you say, like, maybe September, November, like October? He had a lot of momentum, main eventing pay-per-views last year, and now he's kind of been a little bit more on the back burner recently. I think that would be a sneaky approach, where it's like, there's so much on Seth and Drew, whereas there's a guy lurking behind and Damian, and he finally catches in. And I think he has to win. I know we've seen many cash-in fails over the years. I think Damian's a guy where I've seen his progression. I think he has to win. Don't you guys agree? I think it's time for him to win the world title.
It's about time. Like, and I mean, you and Alino can talk to it a lot more than I can, but you've seen it too many times within the past, like, I'm going to say decade or even a little longer. There have been guys that have been given pushes that get put in the right position, but they wait too long to either give them that extra push to give them, to put them over, and then it doesn't happen, and then it's limbo, and it's like, okay, well, Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, like, there's a long list of guys that it's happened to, and it's like, don't fuck these guys up again, because at this rate, like, you're just going to, it's a revolving door of that mid to upper card talent. And it's like, guys, you got to figure it out sooner rather than later.
I agree. Yeah.
Like Austin Theory, like, wins it, has it for so long, cashes in on the US title. I don't know why they even had it in to begin with, if it's a world title, but yeah, that was a waste.
Even the whole Otis thing.
Oh yeah, then The Miz won it back. That was I think that was just for COVID, because The Last Dance was going on, and they were like, you know what, we need something to trend on Twitter. Let's give Otis the Money in the Bank, and then the pay per view. It's just like no one's fucking even caring. It's a cinematic match.
The only thing I'm worried about with Damian Priest and Alina, you're gonna freaking die of laughter, is so far the way he's held this briefcase has completely reminded me of when Baron Corbin held it.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he's great, he's up and coming, and then bam, he loses, and it's like, oh bad now money. Are you gonna go to NXT? What are you doing now? So it's just, it's one of those where I'm nervous for Damian, but I'm also very excited, because I do want to see him get that moment. But I just want to end the WWE segment. We saw Rhea Ripley at this press conference look beautiful, look powerful, whatever. Whatever you want to, she's a freaking smoke show. But Becky Lynch comes out, interrupts her. She's in the Women's Elimination Chamber. We do see a couple dark horses in that. Liv Morgan is a name I want to see succeed. She had her time, I think, what was it, 2 years ago? I think she beat Ronda Rousey. She held the title for a bit. Alino, is this finally, are we going to see a dream match between Rhea and Becky? And is this finally where we see Rhea's reign end? Or do you think Becky putting a girl over like Rhea will just only further cement her as an all-time great?
Yeah, I think we'll see it. And if I'm Becky Lynch, like, I'm going to this press conference, I'm a little pissed off, because, like, I have to go in a chamber match. Like, do I have to? Like, we just did the thing, the picture, face-to-face, the photo op, the video. Like, do we have to do that? Like, do I have to go? Like, I'm a mom. Like, she was talking about her kid. Like, I got to go through a fucking pod. Like, do we have to do that? So, yeah, she's going to have to go through this match. But, yeah, for her, I guess it'll be worth it. For Rhea, and Rhea Ripley has to still make it through Nia Jax. You never know what can happen there. She can get a fucking fist in the face. Split lip, like, hopefully she makes it to WrestleMania.
Yikes.
I just think I love, like, the press conference thing, but if you're gonna do something like that, this with a stare off, like, and how powerful that was, don't then announce that there's a chamber for it, and then there's, what's it called, there's you have to, like, qualify for it. It's like, so you're telling me you're going to waste 4 weeks of television with qualifying matches when we already know that Becky is going to win the match? So it's just one of those where it's like, come on, man, common sense. Just have Becky fucking, just announce it, like, Becky Lynch versus Rhea at Mania. Like, that's all you got to do. Nobody has to go through pods, none of that. If anything, the Intercontinental title should be in the Elimination Chamber to solidify Gunther's reign even more, but nah, they're not doing that. So a lot of flaws with that, but we did have a lot of positives with the WrestleMania press conference. The biggest question mark to me still is, what the fuck is Rock doing? Because I have no fucking idea. I absolutely love it. And Roman's chilling too. You could tell he's looking a little more relaxed.
He doesn't have to talk now.
He doesn't have to do shit, which is good. And more relaxation for him. But now we got to end the pod with the NBA All-Star Game. They announced the rosters. I'm actually quite surprised, to be honest with you. We're seeing a lot of new names, which is not a problem. I don't think so. So I'm just going to quickly talk about the roster here, and you guys can kind of chime in. Which all-star snub to you is most significant? Do you guys believe that certain players should be starting over others? So I'm going to start with the East. It looks like this year they're actually going with East versus West. I don't think they're doing the draft, which I actually love. I think this is different. It's giving me vintage vibes. And so the all-stars, the East all-star starters are looking here to be Giannis, Halliburton, Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, and Bam Adebayo, who's replacing Joel Embiid due to him being injured. He tore his meniscus. Very unfortunate. This guy was probably going to win his second straight MVP. Then you got the bench, which to me, I absolutely think every single player here is deserving. You have Jalen Brunson, phenomenal season. Paolo Banchero, first overall 2 years ago. We all know what his package is. Scottie Barnes is replacing Julius Randle, which I think is absolutely fitting. He's having a tremendous year. Jaylen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell, and Trae Young. Are there any names there? I'll start with you, Alino, that you are surprised are not that are not there.
I'm just going to go with, Scottie Barnes would have been one just because of the year he's had, but you guys surprised about Siakam not getting any love this year?
I'd say more Jimmy Butler, if anything, but I just think it's been his availability where he hasn't played too much. But I do agree. I think Siakam, he's like
borderline.
He's like right there. I'm actually surprised Randle made it, to be honest. I think Siakam is in that bubble of players. I think you have like Randle, Siakam. I also think, I mean, it's kind of funny to say this, but I think like DeRozan still is a guy that I would kind of put in there. And just again, like if we're doing fan voting, I'm surprised DeRozan was not in it.
Yeah, no, looking at that Eastern Conference team, for the most part, everyone deserves to be there. I'm glad Scottie has made it. He should have been there kind of regardless. Julius Randle is wild to me that he's there, but it is what it is. He's hurt, though. Haliburton makes so much sense. Siakam, I understand why people feel like, because he was having a relatively good season with us, and then he gets traded, and he's playing really well with Indiana now, too. The Banchero one, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I haven't gotten to watch a lot of Orlando this year, but it's kind of it feels random to me. I know how good of a player he is, but I wasn't expecting to see his name there, to be honest with you guys. Like everyone else, though, for me, they all check the boxes. But besides those two or three, like even like Trae Young, Chris, you know how I feel about Trae Young. he's box office. He's missing so many aspects of his game. I'm kind of surprised that he's there. I do think in the East, the Celtics get to send two. Technically, the Sixers get to send two. So does Milwaukee. I'm surprised that they didn't give two to Miami, but it's one of those things where, unfortunately, with Jimmy's availability, he's not going to be an all-star. But besides that, I'm kind of content, and it looks pretty good. I'm excited to see, though, what's going to happen between the East versus West. Chris, if you want to rattle off the Western Conference teams or the Western Conference players that will be all-stars.
Yeah, so actually before I go, they're saying here, I have an article here, they're saying the biggest snub in the East right now, they're saying, is Kristaps Porzingis.
That's actually a good shout for a big man.
I think between him, I'll even say probably like against Siakam, I think I'd take Siakam over Randle for sure. Trae Young was a replacement. I think this is a guy where, I mean, what he's averaging, what, like 28 and 11? Like, you kind of have to put him in it, even though there's no defense. But I think Jimmy Butler, too. Like, the guy is just Jimmy Butler, DeRozan, Siakam. Like, those are ballers. Like, those are not just offensive, not just defensive. They're everything. So, I don't know. Like, and do you agree with Maxey being there? I know Embiid, like, being hurt. I know Maxey's usage rate is insanely high. I don't know if he's an all-star. Like, I love the Haliburton, Maxey, and Brunson. All three made it. But I think Maxey is, that to me, that one might be a head scratcher. I mean, I think if LaMelo Ball is healthy, he's probably taking Maxey's place.
I think sign of things to come. I think LaMelo, once he gets healthy consistently, he's going to take that spot next year. Like Trae Young, Banchero. Like, there's so many guards here where Lillard now too in the East. Like, there's way too many guards. I think they need to make it more of a contest type of thing. Like, you really have to earn it. Because now you're looking at DeRozan. He's a shooting guard, and you have all these point guards playing, and DeRozan's on the outside looking in, probably drops his stock a little bit. But I don't know what they can do for future years unless they go on the NHL road and they have, like, their own little, like, five different teams in the divisions, and they all go at it. But I don't know how it's going to shape up with every year. There's going to be like four or five point guards.
Yeah, Nick, just before we go on, I was saying to Alino, like, it's great to see Haliburton and Brunson in it. I think those two are more deserving than Maxey, but I do think Maxey's had a phenomenal year. But do you think there's too many guards in this All-Star game? Because, like, again, we're mentioning Porzingis is not in it, Siakam not in it, DeRozan's a small forward, not in it. Do you think they have to kind of do a structural change, or do you think it's just these are the best scorers, the most box office guys, just put them in the game?
Well, I think unfortunately, given the circumstances, how much the league has changed and how it's become a very guard-dominant league, you're always going to see a lot of guards. And I mean, guards in basketball will forever be important. The one thing I can at least say is at least the guards that are in this game, based on this list that I'm looking at, they all deserve to be all-stars. You know, Tyrese Maxey is finally having a true bona fide breakout season. He kind of broke out last year in the playoffs. Like, people were not shocked, but like, it's like, no, this guy... Like, we don't need James Harden. We can get rid of him. Like, this guy is something. Like, so in terms of restructuring the game, I don't know if you can really change the structure, because, like, at that point, what are you going to do? You're going to say you're given two guards and that's it, and then you got to play with bigs and stretching the floor. Like, that's not what people necessarily want to see, right? People want to see cool stuff off the dribble, hitting threes, like stuff that, you know, Steph Curry kind of changed the game for, right? My only thing... Even like how you mentioned, you know, if they change maybe the format of the game, the only thing I would like to see is, you know, world versus USA or North America for basketball. It's the same thing I've been saying for hockey too, but until that happens, they're not going to change. But I do think it's something that people want to see. It's just the NBA won't do it now because the best players in the league aren't American.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy too, because I'm looking at this list and Lillard is starting, and looking at the recent struggles of Milwaukee, and I'm looking at the West, and we'll talk about it in a second, but seeing Curry on the bench and Lillard not is kind of wild to me this year. Like, Brunson to me has been better than Lillard this year. I think Brunson might be the guy where, if, like, let's say there was a casual fan like, oh, you're crazy to have Lillard not star over Brunson. It's like, dude, watch the games. Like, Brunson's averaging almost 30 a game. He's selling out the Garden. It's because of Brunson.
Yeah.
It's not because of OG. It's not because of
Randall
Bogdanovich. Like, it's Brunson.
Yeah.
So I think Brunson, the only knack I have here, and I'm really picky with this, I always have been, I think you take Lillard to the bench and you have Brunson start, or you put Bam Adebayo to the bench and you go small and you have Brunson, Lillard. Halliburton could play the freaking small forward because he's lanky. So I don't know. Maybe you do that, but now we got to go to the West, and this is just a joke. Like, looking at this team, it's hilarious. You got Luka Doncic, who is averaging like 35 a game. KD will never stop scoring. Gilgeous Alexander, actually, guys, fun fact, he has the most 30-point games in a 50-game span since MJ. The Canadian kid right now, I think, is second in the MVP voting. And then, of course, you got LeBron, the guy, 20th freaking all-star appearance. It's insane what he's doing. And then, of course, you got the modern-day big GOAT in Nikola Jokic looking to get his third MVP. Any surprises here with the starting five? Do you think KD's deserving of a start, or would you have given it to maybe a Kawhi Leonard?
The only thing I'm surprised at is Gilgeous Alexander seems to be a hit in the States, especially playing in a market like Oklahoma City,
yep,
where he's getting all these votes to be a starter, because this is like a popularity contest. And if you start, and if you play in a big market, that goes to your advantage. So that makes it way more impressive that he's doing this playing in OKC and getting that kind of love nationally. Like, yep, he's going to get the Canada vote regardless, but to do that in Oklahoma City, that's a superstar. But yeah, I don't think Kawhi minds. Less work, sit on the bench, watch the game. I don't think he wanted to play to begin with, but he's there to be a good sport, and yeah, he'll have fun.
Yeah, no, looking at this West team, I mean, the starters I got no issues with at all. The one thing that does bother me about the bench is that, you know, a guy like Anthony Edwards, he should be a starter, because once again, that guy's fucking box office.
Box office, yeah.
Personally, he should be, at this rate, it's going to be either him, maybe Jalen Brunson, you know, your Tatums, that will be the face of the league in terms of, like, you know, the marketing and all that stuff.
Gilgeous too is there.
Well, Gilgeous though is Canadian, so they're not necessarily going to push him as much as they would the American guys, right?
Yeah, if he keeps playing like this, I don't know.
I don't know. No, that's
he's unstoppable. It's a fair, I don't know what it is.
It's a fair point. The one thing I will say, which bothers, like, it bothers me just because of how poor they've been, is that the Lakers don't deserve to send two guys to the All-Star game. Anthony Davis, not for nothing. Has he had some good games when LeBron hasn't been able to carry the bus? Sure. Is he an All-Star? Fuck no. I am sorry. People can come for me in the comments on social media. I don't care. My opinion, Anthony Davis is not good enough to be an All-Star. He's a really good big. He is not good enough to be an All-Star. You mean to tell me that Anthony Davis is more deserving than Sabonis on Sacramento? No. Or De'Aaron Fox on Sacramento? Like, the fact that they're not getting to send one guy, not even as a replacement for an injury, which, I mean, the West doesn't have, clearly, but, like, there are guys in the West that could really ball, and they're not getting to go because the Lakers, sure, the Lakers are the Lakers. It's the same with, like, the Boston Celtics, the Leafs, the Habs, the Bruins. They're going to get to send their guys because they're perennial franchises in the league, but enough's enough. Anthony Davis, for a lot of people, does not deserve to be an All-Star this year, especially. Like, Kawhi Leonard deserves to start, but like you said, he's not going to complain about not having the extra work. He'll take his All-Star bonus and he'll fuck off in the summer. But there's Anthony Edwards and Sabonis. Those are my only gripes. Otherwise, how are you going to change this team? Like, realistically, like,
I'll say this right now, and I'm looking at the East and then I'm looking at the West, and the West like literally solidifies it's a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Like, I love Karl Anthony Towns as much as the next guy, but Sabonis is way better than Towns. Sabonis is way better than Paul George. And, I mean, Paul George is having a great season. He's not doing what he did in the bubble. Like, he's actually improved a lot. And now I don't know if that's the culture. I don't know if that's bringing in James Harden. I don't know what the hell's going on. Anthony Davis is an All-Star. I just think if there's one guy on this list that doesn't deserve to be starting, it might be LeBron. And that is actually, I kind of laugh when I say that, but you're going to tell him in year 21, like, no, you're not starting. He'd be like, buddy, I don't have any left. Like, just let me, it's like one of those, just like, let me have this one.
You know what it reminds, it's not that the league is not ready. And I heard, who was it? When JJ Redick's podcast, he talked about it last week. Stephen A didn't talk about Colin Coward actually. And Nick Wright talked about it. The NBA is not ready in terms of having a star plan or even just prepared to market its game and its league. Think of NBA without LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. They're not ready for that.
Good God.
They haven't thought about it. They haven't need to think about it.
I'm not ready for that.
No, a lot of people aren't. But like, to your point, Chris, LeBron maybe not starting. Sure, I understand it. He deserves to be an All-Star. But he's going to get the Michael Jordan treatment when he decides
to. Of course.
A lot of people don't know this. When it was Michael Jordan's last All-Star game, he wasn't starting. Vince Carter was starting. And Vince Carter went over to Mike and he's like, no, no, no. Mike, this is your last All-Star game. I'm going to be sitting on the bench and you are going to start. And Michael Jordan's like, no. And he's like, well, Mike, that's too fucking bad because it's your last game and I'm not going to be the guy that's going to get shit for my whole career because you didn't get to play in your last All-Star game.
Smart move.
No,
exactly. It would have backfired terribly.
Yeah. And the one thing too, it's like, you minus Anthony Davis, and then you add a guy like Sabonis, and then you can justify keeping Cat because when you actually look at the roster, you need... No, hold on. You need another big for the sake of the game.
I'll take Davis over Towns.
No, because the Lakers don't deserve to send two guys based on how their season has been. Whereas at least Minnesota, they've been winning. If people predicate being All-Stars based on how the team performs during the year and winning, and then, of course, obviously the fan vote, Karl Anthony Towns deserves to be there because their team has been winning.
Is it not too far-fetched then to say Rudy Gobert might be an All-Star? Top three defensive player?
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in. Because, like, how does it work for All-Stars? Is it like NHL where the fan vote decides the starter?
The fan votes, like, I think you have like 10, so I think there's 10 roster spots. They vote every single one in. Every single player they vote in. So the
popularity contest is for the top 10.
Yeah, basically. So like, that's why, again, I'm looking at the list, and I agree with almost every player here. If it was a popularity contest, yeah. Paul George, I don't think is deserving. Towns, I mean, he's had what, 60 point games, but other than that, he doesn't really help his team.
Yeah, like I'm looking at Davis and I'm like, yeah, no. Paul George, like I saw last week the reports of him going to Indiana.
I saw that too.
So if he's playing like fourth fiddle in fucking LA, like you know how am I supposed to put him in?
You know what's hilarious? Sabonis has the most triple doubles this year.
And he's not even
I don't even think he was sniffed to get in. And De'Aaron Fox said openly, he's like, you know, he's missing out on like $1 million because of it. It's like, why? So fucking guys like AD and Paul George get 5 points in the game. Like, come on, man. Like it's foolish. I get it. The Clippers and the T-Wolves having two guys because they're both the top seeds. But I do agree now that I'm kind of thinking about it with Nick. It's like, if you're going to have the like one Laker guy, it is LeBron. Edwards absolutely should probably be starting.
Well, think of this. If Steph is on the bench,
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. No. Hearing that.
Like, they're not having that good of a year either, right? So why is it that the Warriors have to get punished? The team that's really carried the NBA the past almost a decade, yeah. It feels like. It probably is. And then the Lakers don't get punished. They get to send two guys. Like, not for nothing. Like, it's a slap in the face to a lot of teams in the league. And the one thing that's unfortunate about Sacramento, which we talked about with SGA, is that they're small market and they're not getting the votes. But SGA is such a star. He's going to get the Canada vote as well, but they're losing out on that vote. And I think what will have to happen at some point in the NBA, which I don't think will happen because these guys are so greedy for their bonuses, which I understand because you want to make as much money as you can when you come from nothing. I get that. But at some point, it's going to get to a point where it's like in the NHL. At what point do you say, I've been to enough All-Star games? I just want to fucking go on vacation with my family and fuck off for a week.
Clearly not to LeBron.
Well, LeBron James is an exception to the rule. I'm talking about guys like your Paul Georges or, you know, who else am I looking at here? Like Julius Randle would have gone, absolutely.
Yeah, he would have gone.
Trey Young's a replacement, whatever. But like there are guys in like Paul George and Anthony Davis, you could consider those guys where it's like, hey, or even Kawhi. I mean, Kawhi's in talks possibly to win an MVP, but you don't mean to say like, okay, look, you're an all-star, we'll pay you half of your bonus, but if you don't want to go, that's fine.
Like, I'll tell you.
Okay, I don't want to go. I'm going to go to Cancun or the Dominican and fuck
okay,
off.
Okay, like, so before we end the pod, I want you guys to say your starting five. Like, genuinely, I'll say mine right now. I think it should be Giannis. I think it should be Hallie. I think it should be Brunson. I'll say Tatum. And I'll say... I'll probably stick with Bam just because of the position, but I wouldn't be opposed to even a guy like Donovan Mitchell over Lillard either, because Mitchell's been amazing. The Cavs have won 17 of the last 19, and it's due to fucking Mitchell. The guy has been a freaking machine. I go to the West. I have a couple gripes here. I think KD, as great as he's been, the Suns have been a disappointment this year, kind of like what you mentioned, man, like, the Suns really don't need Booker and KD going there. I would start Luka Doncic 100%. He has probably been a top three player this year. I'd go with, instead of KD, I'm going with Kawhi Leonard because you just mentioned he's in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
Start him. He's got the fucking marketability as not being marketable. That's his whole fucking narrative. SGA 100% is starting in this game. I'll go with LeBron and I'll go with Nikola Jokic. And I'm taking out Anthony Davis and maybe even Karl Anthony Towns, and I'm adding both of those King players, Fox and Sabonis.
Like, based on who we have here, I would take out, okay, Embiid's not there, but let's say Embiid is there, I take out Lillard and I put Brunson as a starter.
Yep.
And Western Conference, like, you nailed it there. Like, I'm taking out KD, putting Kawhi, I'm taking out LeBron and putting Edwards, and I'm running that. The two guards. Doncic is really, is he a guard? Like,
yeah.
He's everything.
6'8".
So, yeah. You can maneuver around there and have Edwards as a point guard, SGA as a point guard, and Kawhi takes LeBron's spot, and Edwards takes KD's spot. So that's another thing.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the East, I mean, it's kind of laughable because when you look at the East, it's like, yeah, they're good players. But then as soon as you look at that Western Conference team, it's not even fair. In the East, I will say, like, if Embiid's not there, I'm content with having, you know, Bam there, even though Kristaps is a really, would make probably the most sense. So I go Giannis, Kristaps, Halliburton's fine. I'm going to swap Dame with Brunson, and then I'm going to keep Tatum.
Yeah, you have to keep JT there. Guy's been a baller.
And then in the West, the craziest thing, it's like you're looking at those starters, Doncic, KD, LeBron, and Jokic, like those four alone. If Doncic keeps playing the way he's playing, KD the same, Jokic, LeBron, those guys could be arguably four of the greatest guys to play in the modern era of basketball of all time. Statistically, like whether they win championships or not, you look at those stats.
They will go down. Yeah. Those four, I'm not even flinching on that. Yeah. I agree.
But what I will do is I'm going to keep Luka, KD. I'm going to sit just because of his age. I'd rather have Steph just because I get to see more threes get chucked up. SGA is going to stay. LeBron, you're going to sit on the bench for Anthony Davis, and I'm going to keep Jokic in.
Anthony Davis starting, oh, eh? Edwards, you mean. You definitely mean Edwards. You're just bashing Davis.
Sorry. I was reading the list, and I saw Davis. Like, I just glanced. I saw Davis. I did not mean to say that. Anthony Edwards for LeBron, and then Jokic will stay. And then I'm going to swap Paul George and Anthony Davis for the two Sacramento players. Just because. Like, and here's another thing. You mean to tell me if people do have gripes with Karl Anthony Towns being on the team, okay, then why don't you just add then another OKC player? You mean to tell me they don't have another guy that could be an all-star? In all fairness, based on how they've been playing?
I mean, you could argue that Wembanyama was fucking snubbed here too.
Yeah.
They're fucking dead last. They're down in the water, but Wembanyama just got a triple-double with blocks. I don't remember the last player. I think it was Robinson or Duncan. It was a Spur that did it. So
well, and I mean, that's going to be a huge blunder for them in terms of marketing their game, because although Connor Bedard was hurt, the NHL still had him go to the All-Star game, and he was there for the skills comp and everything else. So that, not gonna lie, completely forgot about it because I was looking at this list. He should be there. He honestly should be there.
Towns should not be there, man.
Right now, I'd rather have Wemby than Anthony Davis. I'm sorry.
That, I mean, it's a cool narrative. I get that. It's a popularity contest. I'll end the podcast by just asking you guys, you're looking at all these guys. Who do you think is going to be the All-Star Game MVP? Because I look on the sports books. Right now, Giannis is the favorite.
Or are they going to have him win the fucking NBA?
I'm
going to
go with
a
good
too?
Canadian kid.
Gilgeous?
Something different. I think Oklahoma City needs it just to get some more buzz around the city. Gets maybe two more media outlets to go to the game. So I'll go with OKC's guy.
I'm kind of torn, to be honest with you, because I mean, there's three guys that I really four actually. Who am I kidding? There's four guys I would love to see win this award. I'm gonna two from each team. I'm going between Haliburton and Brunson. The way they've been playing, they're absolute ballers. And then for the West, honestly, I want to see SGA win or even Anthony Edwards. But this is the thing. It doesn't fucking matter who the MVP is going to be. I mean, whoever's going to put up the most highlights and the most points is going to win. And here's the other thing. They're not playing basketball, like position basketball. Like position basketball doesn't exist, especially now. And they're not going to give a fuck about playing defense.
I'll throw you guys a curveball.
Like,
I think he's going to go back-to-back. Jason Tatum again is gonna come in here and chuck up the threes and connect on all of them. Because last year he actually broke AD's record for most points in a game. Don't be surprised if he tries to one-up that again. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Durant also has something to say about that. He needs more hardware. So I think KD is going to come out and he's gonna gun for that MVP. But regardless, man, this was a great podcast today. We talked a lot about a boatload of things, four different things. Talked about football, basketball, freaking hockey, and wrestling. It doesn't get any better than that. But as always, we are in the zone. This is a Valentine's Day episode. We're signing out. Peace, boys.